with Adam. Constituent mantra. Then we will see the sentence meaning of the mantra. And then finally, we will, time permitting, we will talk a little bit about the real importance of it and what does it really mean. Because I think a mantra like this can have importance at various levels. So you can have an introductory experience of it, or you can have some knowledge behind it. So all of that, I think, we are going to at least get an introduction to. So we will do that. So to start with, let me just concentrate on the correct pronunciation of the mantra, because I think many of you know it. It's possible that some of you may not know the exact swaras to be used and so on. So let's just make sure that we are all together on that. So the pronunciation is a very important aspect of it. And then we will begin to look at why it is important, what is the meaning of it, and so on. So to introduce the pronunciation, as you know, we have in the Vedas three swaras. Swaras means we have three different sounds. In music, we have seven swaras. So a very minimum song consists of seven different swaras. In Vedas, however, it is not sung in the same way as the music is. At the same time, it is sung with three swaras. And so those three swaras are important to know. So those are Uddatta, Anudatta, and Swarita. So those are the three ones. I think many of you know it, but let me just point out what those are. So I'll just take the space here at the bottom to kind of give you this. So one of them is called Uddatta. Uddatta. And so this is given as a vertical line above the main letters. So this is an Uddatta. And I'll explain how that works in a minute. The second one is called Anudatta. And this is given as a horizontal line below the letters. And the third one is called Swarita, which is given as a double vertical line above the letters. You see there are a couple of places, Varenyam and Prachodaya. Okay. Now, the Uddatta has the effect of raising the pitch by one. And the Anudatta is just the opposite. It lowers the pitch by one. And Swarita has a completely different sound, which I'll explain in a minute. So, for example, supposing the swaras were not there, the Uddatta also is not there. So then it will be pronounced as Om Bhur Bhuvaswaha Tatsavitur Varenyam Bhargo Devasya Bhimahi. Kind of like an even pitch. With the introduction of the swaras, the sound goes like this. So like, for example, the first one is Swaha. And so here, you have an Uddatta. So instead of saying Swaha, it becomes Swaha. Sort of thing, Swaha becomes Swaha, so it becomes Om Bhur Bhuvaswaha, like that helps it. So let's repeat after that. Om Bhur Bhuvaswaha. Done. Then, same thing here, instead of saying Tat Savituhu, become Tat Savituhu, Tat Savituhu, Tat Savituhu. Then, let's go to, since we are encountering the Swarita next, so let's go to number three, Swarita. So Swarita has a sound of, instead of just going up, it goes horizontally and then up. So just listen here. If we did not have the swara, then it will be tattaviturvarenyam. But with this swarita, it goes tattaviturvarenyam. So vareenyam, tattaviturvarenyam, tattaviturvarenyam. Same thing here on the last letter, prachodayat. If we did not have, then it will be prachodayat. However, with the swarita, it goes like this. Prachodayat, prachodayat, prachodayat. Then, the last one is the anudatta, which lowers the pitch by one. So, for example, if we did not have the anudatta, then it will become like dhiyo yo. However, with the anudatta, it becomes dhiyo yo, dhiyo yo, dhiyo yo. So those are the three swaras that modify the sound according to the Veda. In the olden days, in fact, the meaning of the words also depended on your swara. And many of them even today in the Vedas, because it was all recited, nothing was really written down. So the same letters that would be sung with swaras would have one meaning, and without swaras would have another meaning. So it is important to really have the right swara. This is what is meant by it. All right, with this background, we are ready to start pronouncing it. So we are going to do it several times so that you just become very familiar with it. So I'm just going to pronounce the whole thing once, and then we will break it down into constituents, and then we'll go from there. So let's just listen to me for a few times. Om Bhurbhuvasvah Tattavitulvareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Tiyo Yona Prachodayat. Now, one thing I should mention, those of you that study Sanskrit know, this is a visarga. These two colon signs that occur a few times, this one here also, is a visarga. So what visarga does is to aspirate the previous letter. For example, supposing this is na, and the visarga was not there, then it will be pronounced as na, yo na. With the visarga, the pronunciation becomes na, as though there is some air coming out. Nah. Like this. So this is how it would be. Om Bhurbhuvasvah Tattavitulvareenyam. Like that. Now, if this visarga is followed by a labial letter, pa, then the sound almost like this becomes half pakara. So this is the sensitive to the sound. Just listen to this. Diyo yo naf prachodayat. Diyo yo naf prachodayat. Okay, just repeat after me. Diyo yo naf prachodayat. Diyo yo naf prachodayat. Excellent. So with that, I think we have covered all these special cases. So now we are ready to just pronounce it. Just listen. Om Bhurbhuvasvah Tattavitulvareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Nah प्रचोदयात् ॐ भूर्भुवस्वः तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो नः प्रचोदयात्. All right, so with that, let's just do, as we will see, this is the Gayatri Mantra is divided into three portions. Okay, we'll go into a lot of details on that, but just to give you an idea. So the first portion ends here, and as we will see, technically this is not part of the Gayatri Mantra. So this is just the beginning. It's almost like setting the stage for it. The real Gayatri Mantra starts with this. And so that has two portions to it. Tat Savitur Vareenyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimai is one. And then the last one is Dhiyo Yonat Pachodaya. So we're just going to do the three constituents separately to practice. We will do the whole thing a few times, and then the pronunciation will become very easy. So you can just repeat after me. Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
Very, very, very straightforward. Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
Om Bhurbhuvah Svaha.
I should mention that there is an alternative pronunciation of Svaha. It becomes like Suvaha. And many people actually pronounce that as well. Om Bhur Bhuvah Suvaha. And in fact, in the Taittiriya Upanishad, it is given as Suvaha. Swami Dayananji has mentioned that both are okay. And it depends on what you are sort of brought up with. And both of them are grammatically okay. As we will see what the meaning of Swaha and Suvaha, we'll see all of that later on. So just to mention that, you can do either one of them. I have been brought up with Swaha, so that's what I pronounce. And Swamiji also uses Swaha, so that's what we use. So both of them are okay. Then we are ready to go to the next section. Yeah.
In what case there is the anudatta under the vasu?
Anudatta under the?
Vasu.
Savitu. Yeah, you're right. This is why. Yeah. But, thank you so much. So there is anudatta under.
Sorry.
प्रसाद
Thank you.
let's start the explanation and the meanings and so on. Gayatri is actually a meter. It's a meter of the mantra, meaning how many syllables are there in each mantra determines the meter. Gayatri has 24 syllables. And what is a syllable? Let's understand that first. A syllable is a combination of also called akshara. Aksharaha in Sanskrit, syllable, is a combination of a vowel and a consonant. Is the possibility that the vowel can stand apart from it, but in most cases the sound that the mouth creates has to have both of them. Like for example, a pure consonant has no sound, like k. It does not really have a sound. Now, r, on the other hand, has no modulation. It is just a pure sound with no modulation. So a modulation of the consonant plus the sound together constitute a syllable. And the number of syllables in the mantra constitutes the name of the mantra. Okay? So now, let's look at this. Here, so we have, this is why I have two copies here, so we can mess up with one of the copies and still have the main one up there. So we'll mess up the bottom one. All right. As I mentioned to you, that the mantra really starts here. Okay? And I'll explain why that is and so on. So let's do the syllable one. So, tup. This is one syllable. Tup. This is not a syllable. Because why? Because it's a sakara without a vowel. So this is a syllable. Second one is sa. Number two. Vi. Three. Tu. Four. Va. Five. Ve. Nya is not a syllable because it is, does not have a complete sound. Yum, number seven. Eight, dha, go. And this rakara does not have a separate sound, becomes a go. It gets mixed in with go. So we only have nine here, not ten. De, 11. Sorry, ten. Va, 11. Tya, 12. Bhi, 13. Ma, 14. Hi, 15. Bhi, 16. Yo, 17. Yo, 18. Naha, 19. Tra. So the rakara here also is not a separate one. Tra is one. 20. Cho, 21. Da, 22. Ya, only one, because this is not a separate one. 23. You would say, you were telling me that it has 24. How come it only has 23? This is something very special about this mantra that makes it very special. And these three you have not added.
Sorry, I should not mess up the top one.
These three are not added.
Bhu, Bhuva, Swaha.
Because they are the explanation of Om,
as we will see in
a little while. So the Om is added, but the Bhut Bhuvatsvaha is not added. So really speaking, it will be Om Tatsavitarvareyam. But because this is also added and the Vedas has also, and we will see why, what is the importance of this. This is what is called Vyahriti. So we're going to see all of this in some more detail. It is a Vyahriti and we'll see why this is added and so on. But just to give you an idea of the Gayatri mantra, which is consists of 24 syllables. And you have lots of other mantras that also are Gayatri. No, so this is the thing. It's very interesting. Swami Dayanandji was talking to a group in Haridwar last year, and one of our students, you probably know him, Kalpesh, he sent me a video clip of this. And so I was looking at this when I was preparing for this class. And so Swamiji made a very interesting point. He said, you know, there are lots of mantras that use the Gayatri meter. It's a general meter. Any mantra that uses it technically is called Gayatri. Why are we then only talking about this as a Gayatri? Swamiji says this is the brand name, branding called Xerox or Google. Google was not popular at that time, so he didn't say Google, but Xerox. So, for example, there are lots of copiers. You may have a Panasonic copier, but you will say, can you please Xerox that for me? So, even though it is general copy, but because this has become, for some good reason, we will see in a minute why this is such an important thing, this has become the name Gayatri. Even though you have other verses, for example, I was looking at it, Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishta Prachodayat. This is Gayatri. You have Katyayanaya Vidmahe Kanyakumari Dhimahi Tanno Durgya Prachodayat. Now, interestingly enough, I'm looking at this. So the first one is from the Narayana Sukta. The second one is from Durga Sukta. So if you look at the syllables in these, there is no, there are 24. Narayana 1, 2, I can count it for you. 24. Durga Sukta, 24. So Om is not added. That is the important thing. They are just separate things. Here, however, Om is added. Om is added, and it is for this reason, this is a very special Gayatri. Even though you have lots of other Gayatris, but this is a very special Gayatri, and so this is called Gayatri Mantra. One of the reasons is that Om is added. Another name for this mantra is Savitri. We will see why that is the case in a minute, but this is also called Savitri. And in fact, the unique name for this mantra is Savitri. But also because it is using the 24 syllables along with the word Om, it is called Gayatri. Okay? So this is one reason why it is. Another reason why the mantra is so important is it appears in all the four Vedas. All the four Vedas. It doesn't happen very often. Same mantra is not repeated, maybe in a couple of Vedas and so on. All four Vedas. Another reason it is important, and Swami Tathavidananda Ji had talked about this. I didn't know this. He pointed this out. He said, you know, you look at the Sri Ramayana. Ramayana
consists of 24,000 verses. And it is divided into 24 sections, each with 1,000 verses. And each section begins with one of the syllables of guidance. First section starts with Om, second section starts with Bhu, third section starts with Bhuvaha. Must be some, this is the reason why this is such an important, and I think also perhaps the most important one is that throughout our culture, in the Vedic culture, this is an important mantra which is given at the time of initiation to the study of Vedas, called Upanayanam. And traditionally it is given to males, but really speaking, there is no reason why it can also not be given to women as well. In fact, Swami Prasodhidananda has quoted, I was reading his commentary on this some time ago, and he quoted, he said, quite often, this is a section, by the way, that I got from Ishvara Upasanam. He gave some talks on Ishvara Upasanam, Swami Prasodhidananda ji at the Gurukulam. So I was just reading that. I came across this. He said, quite often people ask me a question. Swamiji, can women recite Gayatri Mantra? He says, I quote a verse from Yama Smriti. So the Smritis are books that essentially explain the usage of Vedas, in many cases, in form of stories and so on. So this is a verse from Yama Smriti as an answer to the question. And the verse goes like this. Pura kalpe tu nari naam maut jivan bandha nishyate adhyapanam cha vedanam savitri vachanam tatha. Pura kalpe tu nari naam maut jivan bandha nishyate adhyapanam cha vedanam savitri vachanam tatha. He says, from the very beginning, the investiture with the sacred thread, teaching of the Vedas and the recitation of the Gayatri was desired for women. So he says that if there are some people who believe that it should only be given to boys, this is not in keeping with our with what is given in the Vedas. So it really applies to everybody. It just become more of a cultural phenomena that only boys are given Upanayanam and so on. So Upanayanam is also an important aspect of that. So let's just slowly go into. So anyway, so this is the Gayatri. Gayatri means, really speaking, a mantra with 24 syllables. Technically, that is what it is meant for. And we have seen what is the case with that. Now let's go to the next one. Why is it given as at the time of Upanayana? So at the time of Upanayana, here also, so the word Upanayanam is an interesting one. So the word Upa means samibe. In the sense of nearness. In the sense of nearness. And nearness is synonymous with dearness. Because what is dear to us, we keep very close to us. What is not dear to us, we just keep it far away. So Upa, same word is used in Upanishad, which we're going to start studying in a couple of weeks. So the word Upanishad comes there also. We will see that in a bit more detail. It's the same, Upa.
So the word upa means near.
Nayanam. Nayanam comes from the root ni, to be led. To be led or to lead. So here it is to be led, but to lead.
So upanayanam is a sacrament, an experience which starts the process of the youngster to be brought near himself or herself. And so really speaking, what it means is that you now have to start seeking what is the most precious thing that you have, as we will see later on, which is the Atma, which is the study of the Vedas, through the study of the Vedas. And that whole sacrament of Upanayanam starts with the Gayatri. The Gayatri mantra is given to the child, and so the whole study of the Vedas begins with it. In fact, this is where the person is told, you are now qualified. Having taken this vow that I will now study the Vedas, you are now qualified, so please do so. And the qualification starts with learning the Gayatri Mantra. So this is another important thing in the Hindu culture, in the Vedic culture. So that's an important aspect of that. Some women used to say that. So in the Upanayanam ceremony, what will happen is that for those families that follow a particular Veda, so they will actually, so there is, they have to say, for example, Rig Veda Dhyayi, Sama Veda Dhyayi, that now I begin the study of this particular Veda, which my family also has. This is how the Upanayanam ceremony used to go. So the question now becomes, why this particular mantra is given in Upanayanam? So for this also we know that there is another name for this mantra. We saw two names already. We saw the name Gayatri. Gayatri. It's a Savitri. And the third name given is Vedasara. Vedasara mantra. Vedasara mantra. And let me comment on the words, the meaning of the three words for a minute. The word Gayatri actually refers to the protection through sound. So I think I'm going to erase the bottom one and keep the top one. We have some other things to talk about. So let's look at Gayatri for a minute, then we'll come back to Amit, who will explain the meaning of all three of them. So Gayatri means, in fact, this is given in several Upanishads in great detail. If you want to read this with some more detail, in the Chandogya Upanishad, probably run out of time if we go into too much detail on this, but just to give you a reference, in the Chandogya Upanishad, in the section 312.1, and I was reading this the last few days, it goes into some more detail about what the meaning of Gayatri is.
So the one important thing is it has two sections to it. So one is from the root guy, and the second one is tr. And guy means to sing, and really means sound in general. Words, really speaking, meaningful words. And tr means to protect. Gayati, prayati, gayati. Gayati, prayati. And goes into a lot of detail why sound is an important thing. In fact, the giving of words to human beings is a very important part of the growth. Because up to the animal kingdom, really speaking, words are not given. At best, they can bark. Or the cow will say, ah. And they have some meaning in those words also, you know. When the cow says, ah, they probably their offsprings understand what that ah means. There's some variations in the theme and so on and so forth. Not much. Not much. And these horses will say, ah. A little bit here and there, a little bit, you know. There's probably some variations you get there. And the birds can sing and they have some language and so on. It is not until you graduate into manushya. When you graduate into the humankind, then sound becomes very important. Words are given and words protect by giving upadesha. By communication, babies are also told, no, don't go there. No, that's not, don't touch that. Hot, cold. But words are very important. And finally, really speaking, the most important words are being successful. You are, what are you speaking? You are speaking. What are you wasting your time? You are the whole thing, as we will see also. So through the word, there is a protection. So that's the real meaning of the word, guys. Guys, this is not right. This is what? Then the second one, savitri. This is the real one. We will study this in more detail. So savitri means savitra. Savitra Devata. So the Savitra Devata is the manifestation of the Lord in the form of the visible sun. Savitra. And connected to that, the verse which is connected to that is called Savitri. So there is some, we have to really study this, some suffixes are used, and so it savitra becomes savitri. So the meaning of the word savitri is concerning or connected to, associated with. Savitri Devata. Savitri Devata. Called Savitri. And in fact, this is, I would consider to be the main meaning of this Gayatri Mantra. Really even more than Gayatri, because as you know, Gayatri is a more general mantra. But this is really the particular specialized mantra called Savitri. And the third one, which we got started with in discussing this, is Vedasara. Vedasara Mantra. Vedasara Mantra. Mantra word used in all three of them. same thing. It's very interesting. If you look at this word mantra, mantra also means the same thing. Manute Trayate. I'm sorry, I think it's a Atmanepada. Trayate. Iti. Mananam Trayate.
The one that protects you by thinking, by inquiry, by vichara, is called mantra. The portion of the Veda which should be inquired into is called mantra. Similar to what is called Gayatri, the Gayatri thing. So that's just mantra. So Vedasara mantra. Vedasara here, really speaking, it has the essence of the Vedas. As we will see, as we begin to study this more, then it also has the Vedasara. So therefore now we can conclude the section on Upanayanam, because it is an appropriate mantra which encompasses the essence of the whole Veda, and so that mantra is an appropriate vehicle to introduce the youngster to the study of it. That, of course, go into more detail and become more specialized, but in the very beginning, make sure that you begin to pronounce properly the Vedasara mantra, the Gayatri mantra, and so on. So that's another importance of the Gayatri mantra. Okay. Having said that, let's go to the next section. Yes, so in the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that, because the Lord Krishna talks about amongst this, which is the best, amongst this, which is the best. So in the Bhagavad Gita, amongst the various chandas, Gayatri is the most superior. That reference goes, I forget the name of the chapter, thank you for... Gayatri Chanda Samaham. That out of all the mantras, I am the Gayatri, and so this is just the meter itself. So that means any other mantra, Jayatri. You can see this, Om Namo, Om Nara, with Mahe, all of that. Any of this of the meters, that is Gayatri, is supposed to be. Alright, now let's go into this. So this is the importance of, so far the importance of it. This mantra consists of three sections. And once I saw a recording of a talk given by one of the gurus in India. I think it was I forget the name of the person. Anyway, it's very nicely done, very, very beautiful. Introducing this. What he said is that it has three sections. The first section, which starts with Om and ends with Swaha. So Om, so this section right here. I don't want to write on this, so. This section here, up to here, is praise. The second section, it starts with tap, is meditation. The third section
which is Dhyah. Is prayer.
Gayatri should be looked upon as three distinct portions of the mantra, each highlighting one aspect of the relationship. One is the praise, one is meditation, and the third one is prayer. Now, I should also point out, this is interesting to see, this is almost like you can draw a grid. And the grid has these three sections. And vertically, it could have two different, you can almost say beginning and end. So let's look at praise. This is an important thing to see why this is an important mantra. I mean, any mantra can be very important, and then this one that we are studying is so important. What happens is that praise can be done only through actions and words, even thought about a little bit. But in other words, this praise in the beginning can be casual. Casual means not knowingfully. As the word put it. In that sense, that not casual in the sense of being careless. But when you praise something, and you just like supposing a Einstein were to be alive and comes here, and this often happens. You see this in the newspapers. My younger brother is very fond of this English scientist. What's his name? The one who can hardly even talk, and Stephen Hawking. Uday is just absolutely he never misses a lecture and so on. So supposing Hawkins comes and so on. And if you were to, in fact, you've taken a photograph with him also and so on and so forth. So now knowing what Stephen Hawking does, you can say, my God, you are a great person. Great person. I really don't know half of the things that, 99% of the things that he talked about. But if I were to see him, I would see him with some reverence and say, you are a great person. Imagine if at the same time you study what this fellow has done, all the origin of whatever he's done, so on, the fundamental particles and so on, and you yourself are a PhD, and you not only are a PhD, you are a very knowledgeable person and so on, how would you look upon the people? Completely different. That praise will not just be casual. You will say, my God, you will understand what this is. In order to really praise knowledgeably, you yourself have to be knowledgeable. And so really speaking, Bhuvasvaha, the first portion, which is the praise, let the youngster with the Upanayanam at least be reverential. Oh Lord, I you are a great person, but you don't know much. Even they are also most of us are also like children, we don't know. We don't know what to do with the Lord is. We just pray, just be saved. Oh Lord, you are great. We like going to Stephen Hawking and just saying, you are great, without knowing what the fellow has done. However, as you begin to study, you understand, and you become yourself understandable, then your knowledge of the Lord elevates your praise to a point it becomes more realistic. It's not just a bunch of words saying you are great. You know what greatness means, and So the praise has an end to it, which culminates in your own item, with your own identity with the Lord. But in the beginning, it is appropriate. I have to start somewhere. And let me also tell the youngster, please start praising. The same thing is true for the meditative section. Tattavituhu varenyam ago devasya timahi. As you can see, there also, in the beginning, you just think about it. So here what will happen is, just to give you an idea, here, this is a meditation on the Savitri Devata. And in the beginning, you just are capable of appreciating the visible. So as you get up in the morning, you just say, "Oh Lord, oh Son, my kid, my pronouns to you, you give some water and so on and so forth, or just fold your hands and so on." This is the beginning of meditation. Then as you begin to see what is behind the sun, as we will see, we will do this here also in this too. I think we will just finish this next week. So we will go into a bit more depth and you will begin to see what the meditation should be like. What appreciation of the sun should be like. So that will be the same way. And then the Diyaha, same thing on the prayer also. In the beginning, you just say, "Oh Lord, please help me." But then how exactly it should help me? What should be the factual aspect of this prayer? What my action should be? What my life should be? That also needs to have some graduation at the end. This is a graduation. This is just the beginning. So that way of looking at this kind of a matrix, I think, would be an important one. Okay. Let's do this. So the next thing I will do is look at the word meaning of each section, the three sections, and then we will put it together. So let's look at the word meanings first. Okay, it's somewhat dry and so on, but it's an important thing. This is where we start. So let's start with the first section, which is a phrase. Starts with the word Om. As you know, the word Om is a, so you can just say Om here, and you can do that. This is a more of a symbol, but realistically then it will be Om. This consists of three portion A plus U plus Makara. So A and U becomes O and Makara stays as it is, becomes Ma. Okay. So very briefly, and perhaps what I'm not quite sure of is whether I should just stay at the word meaning or go into the meaning also. I think I'll go a little bit into the meaning because it'll be hard to do just the word meaning itself. Although a more in-depth one we will wait for next week. Okay. One very interesting thing that from then the SF had told us was that suppose you were to give a name to the Almighty, to the Lord, to the God. Supposing you were to give a name, what name would it be? Because everybody has to have some kind of a name And the name should be somewhat appropriate. You know, supposing the mother and father decide that our child is born and we're going to call it the Ibu. Buddhu. Buddhu Kumar. Nobody, even though all of us are somewhat Buddhu, but we are not totally Buddhu. So we give names that, you know, are more appropriate to us, and so on. And we have certain aspirations, we have certain hopes, and so on. So we, even though, you know, Vijaya, my father also knew that I'm never going to be completely victorious, but I'm a little bit victorious here and there, still around it. So the name should be appropriate. Now, here is the person who is almighty, all-knowing, sarva-shakti, sarva-jnana. What actually is that? Should be somewhat appropriate. It's not the ordinary name. And we have in the various religions, we have different names and so on and so forth. And what name should you give that does not depend on a religion, does not depend on culture? It's a completely appropriate generic name. That name would be called. Why that is the case, we will begin to see. Let me introduce that to you. It means the portal. Unlimited. The portal. The entire. Same thing. Nothing left out of that. And so therefore, this is that name given. And this is given in great detail. Why is the case in the Mandukya Upanishad? The Mandukya Upanishad goes into really the whole explanation of Om. And where it stays, what it says at that point is that really speaking, if you look at any living being, human being or non-human being, we essentially have, as we have studied in our Vedanta classes, we essentially have three states of experience. We have the waking state. This is true for animals also. They are awake. They are completely asleep. And they also have a dream state. And there's no fourth state as per se. Those are the three ones we call, keep going backwards. And this whole cycle completes in 24 hours. That's why a 24-hour cycle is important, because you almost live the whole three thing in one 24 cycle, and then you just keep repeating it. And so the three states are designated by the three letters. So Earth stands for the waking state. Again, there's a lot of detail behind it, but we may run out of time. We may not be able to explain exactly how, but for the time being, waking. And the U is the sleep. I'm sorry, is the dream state. And Makara is the sleep state. Very briefly, I'll just give you a very brief explanation of this. And I think then we will just end the class, because it's quite long, and then we'll continue next time. So, the waking state with is, why the waking state is assigned Why? Because the waking state is the beginning of our experience. In fact, this is the main experience. Stage is the main experience, so much so that we don't even think much about the sleep and so on and so forth. That's just secondary. Main thing is our life, our, you know, who we are as a person and so on and so forth. Similarly here, if you have any sound, the most important beginning sound is the baby is the first thing that the baby learns. Doesn't have to open the mouth to say, other things like those require certain muscles and this, that, or the other. The easiest thing is you open your mouth to say, So, represents the normal, the beginning. In fact, the most important one, Shrestha. That's why the word is represented. A lot of details in all of this. Who is the dream state? This is an intermediate state. And follows the waking state. So when you have to say, and again, I'm not sure that I can explain to you all the phonetics of why shouldn't it be I am not sure of that. So just take it from what I know is that the dream state being is intermediate state follows the, why? Because you cannot have a dream until you are awake. What you dream about really is just a modification of the waking state alone. And so U is represents your dream state. It also represents the thought world. In fact, even the thought world within the waking state can be represented by the letter U alone. And in fact, you can say another way of doing this is that this is the gross manifestation. The Sthula Sharira. This can be the subtle manifestation. So there's a way of looking at it. And the subtle manifestation and the gross manifestation don't stand apart. Right now, for example, you are looking at me, you're also thinking, so you are a mixture of both your sthula sharira and your subtle body. And so both of them are there. And really speaking, or it can be just the dream state in which the sthula is completely absent. It is nothing but subtle body, subtle body, subtle body, subtle body. All the whole thing, all of your mountains and lions and waterfalls and so on is nothing but your thought form alone. So that is the root of the dream state. Then Makara is the Upanishad, the Mandukya Upanishad says, comes from the word niyate. Niyate. Niyate means it puts a delimiter. Measures as though. Puts the full stop to it. How? Even your own sound when you say what ends that whole sound is makara. Like that. So the ending of the sound also is done like that. Similarly here also, what happens is that what ends comes out again. So these two are kind of like, this Makara is like a bookend. It's like a bookend. In between, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, but these two are kind of like framing of your experience. And all three of them are but states of experience. And they depend on the fourth Diriya. The fourth, which is the Atma. Which is the Atma, which is Satyam Jnanam Anantam, which is you are. You are the waker. So you are. The waker is just nothing but nitya, but you are, and you are aware. So this isness and this awareness is the Turiya, this is the force, and beyond that there is nothing. So really speaking, the word Om represents an appropriate name for the Almighty, because all states of experience, as well as the very basis of the states of experience, is nothing but Om. And in fact, if you look at the English translation of this verse, you can say Om is the basis of everything and is everything. How? Because, really speaking, water, waves come out of the water. Water is the very basis of the waves. And are the waves any different from the water? Not really. So the water is both nirguna as well as saguna. Saguna as the wave, but really as a nitya. But as satyam, it is still there as a nirguna. So it's good to look at all as the very basis of everything. As well as the as a, another thing, and I'll close with this. If you look at this matrix that I talked about, where one is a phrase, and this is the beginning, and this is the end in the sense of graduation. One of the things to remember this is the word Om is based out of, believe it or not, the dhatu, which is called Av. So the word is actually a modified form of, so the essence of the word Om is Av. Av means to protect. Thank you. I am the very basis, and you and I are not any different. And the very content of the wave is nothing but water. And so the best form of protection is that you understand I am nothing but water. Similarly here also, in the beginning, a prayer of a praise is saying, please, you know, you are the protector, and so on and so forth. Same thing with the prayer also. In the end, as the very content, as Surya, as the very Atma, you understand that I am really nothing but the very content of you. There is no other protection. So that's the word. We have lots to do. We have just started with one word. I don't know. I hope we can finish it next week. I'm beginning to have my doubts now. So we'll finish it.
Yes. I don't think so. Maybe that's an interesting thing. Interesting idea. Yeah.